Praise God, amen. So this is the last in our series about the armor of God, talking about the sword of the Spirit. And you know, we have to remember that we need to put on the armor of God before we pray. Truth, right? We got to have the truth, first and foremost. And what goes together with emet, truth, emunah, faith. Faith and truth go hand in hand. We have to have that breastplate of righteousness. And notice it isn't our chest that protects our vital organs, but it's the righteousness of Yeshua by the blood that He shed on a cross for you and me that protects us and gives us His righteousness. Because faith is credited to us as righteousness, right? Then we have to put on the gospel shoes. Looking around, looking at everyone's different shoes. I think Melissa's got the coolest shoes on today with the little... That's awesome. But yeah, you know what? The shoes carry the same function. And the gospel, the good news, is the same thing, right? We need to carry the good news. And we might carry it a little bit differently, but the message is always the same. It's only through Yeshua Jesus. It's only through faith in Jesus that He died on a cross, that He rose again, that we celebrate the empty tomb. You know, I see a lot of people wearing crosses around their necks nowadays, and it's just like, oh, really? I see celebrities wearing crosses around their necks. It's like, oh, why do you even wear that? You don't even believe in that. And I think about that. It's like, oh, wow. I start praying for these people. But really, what would give more people hope is if we wore empty tombs around our neck, right? Because a lot of people were executed on a cross, but we have the hope in the resurrection. And that's the good news. That's the good news that we share. Also, we've learned about taking up that shield of faith, and when those darts and the adversary throws junk at us, we block it with our faith in the Lord, knowing that the Lord is going to deliver us. The Lord is the one that's going to come forward, and the Lord is going to fight for you, and the Lord's going to keep that junk away from you. Amen? Amen. Yeah. And then we talked about last week the helmet of salvation. And you heard Rabbi's story about how he got a concussion and had to get stitches and all that other fun stuff, which is not really fun stuff, but how a helmet really would have saved a lot of that headache, and how really God's helmet of salvation protects us from glancing blows and from wounds that the adversary wants to put upon us, right? And now we come to the final thing in the armor of God, which is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And you notice we brought some swords today. Yeah, because I think that it's more than just, hey, look, the sword. But I think that sometimes we might need to come up and pick up one of these things and just say, hey, you know what? I kind of visualize the stuff that's on me. I'm just going to cut it off. I'm going to swing it around my head and cut it off. Because I don't want that darkness on me. And that's what we use, is the Word of God cuts that, all that junk off. And so, the Word is called the Book of the Law, or really, it's the Sefer HaTorah. Torah means teaching. And there's some who like to translate every time they see the word Torah as law, but actually Torah means teaching or feeding. Just like the Greek word nomos means teaching or feeding. And so, with that, Nehemiah 8 says, we read it, or he read from it before the square, which was in front of the Watergate, and not the Watergate Hotel in Washington, but the other Watergate. From early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the Sefer HaTorah, the book of the teaching. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden podium, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Maaseiah, and on his right hand, Pedaiah, Mishael, and Melchiah, Hashum, Hashubadanah, Zechariah, Mashulaam, on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. He opened it, and the people stood up. There was respect for the Word of God. That's why we stand when we read the Scripture here. to show respect for the Word of God. Now it's interesting. I think of we see that the book of the law is the Word. Also, the law of Hashem. Psalm 1:2 says, "But His delight is in Torah, Yahweh, in the law of Hashem, and in His law, in His Torah, He meditates day and night." The Word of God is the Torah. The Word of God is the Bible. And God wants us to delight in the things of the Bible. And how many times do people say, "Well, you know, yeah, the Bible is great, but I don't like that part." And I always half jokingly around, I usually try to reach for a Sharpie pen or for a set of scissors. And I say, "Oh, you don't like that part? Why don't you just, here, take a Sharpie, just line it out." But before you do, let's read that passage in Scripture in the book of Deuteronomy that talks about if you take away from the teaching of God, God will take your name out of the book of life. And if you add to the teaching of God, God will add the plagues that were found in the book of Exodus. Wow, that's a pretty powerful statement. So, do you really want a Sharpie? Because you know what? It goes beyond a physical Sharpie. It also goes to a spiritual Sharpie as well. God wants us to live out the entirety of His Word, not just our favorite passages. Because if it was just living our favorite passages, the road would be wide, right? But it's hard. So that's why, broad is the path that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way. Narrow is the way. Yeshua, Jesus, is the only way. And we had some people here who were just, "Rabbi, I can't believe that you teach that Jesus isn't going to allow other people to go to heaven who don't believe you." What about the Buddhists? They should go to heaven too. They've got the right intent. That's not what God's Word says. What about those who worship Allah? No, everyone gets an opportunity to worship Jesus, right? They might not call Him Jesus, but everyone gets the opportunity to hear the good news, whether it's through creation or through me or you. And with that, we use the Torah, right? Not in just reading, but how we live our lives and how we act out our lives. And when we delight in that, God's Word promises a blessing. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. The Word is something that we're supposed to live by. Deuteronomy 8 says, "You shall remember all the way which Hashem your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Yeah. We should live our lives by doing everything that comes out of the mouth of God. And some of you, "Well, Rabbi, that's just so Old Testament. We're New Covenant here." 2 Timothy says, "All Scripture is God-breathed." When the Apostle Paul wrote that, did they have the Brit Hadashah? No. All they had was the Tanakh. And here we have the Apostle Paul saying, "All Scripture is God-breathed. And it is profitable," or "it is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work." All Scripture is inspired by God. Starting right at the beginning, Bereshit bara Elohim, Genesis 1:1, to the final Amen in the book of Revelation, right? Yeah. So we need to live our lives doing everything that comes out of the mouth of God. And the Word is also, in the beginning, the Word existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Through Him all things were made, and apart from Him, nothing was made that has been made. And continuing on in verse 14, we're celebrating Sukkot. That's why we've got this down here, the Etrog and the Lulav. The Word became flesh, and it tabernacled amongst us. The Word became flesh, and it celebrated Sukkot with us. We say, "Happy birthday, Yeshua," right? Because His birthday was really a couple of days ago. Yeah. And so, and it says, the Word became flesh, and it Sukkoted amongst us, and we gazed on His glory, the kind of glory that God gives, that belongs to the Father's unique Son, full, listen to the thing it's full of grace and truth. The Word is full of grace and truth. So, the Word is Yeshua Jesus. And He lived the Torah completely to be the perfect model of behavior and sacrifice for us. You know, when you really, you know, a lot of people try to justify, well, I don't want to follow this part of Scripture because, you know what? Yeshua Jesus did away with the law. But what does the Word say? His Word says, I did not come to abolish the law. He didn't come to get rid of the Torah. He came to fulfill it, which means the prophecies that were written, He came to fulfill those prophecies. He was a Torah observant. He is a Torah observant Jew. Think about it. You know, and if you really think about the judgment of God, well, you know, they had to do all those sacrifices to pay for their sins before Yeshua Jesus. I don't read that in the Scripture. In fact, what does Genesis say? Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness, not the sacrifices that he had to make. Well, what about the actions of Abraham? He had to be circumcised. No, he didn't. Because he wasn't circumcised until 14 years later, after God declared your faith is what makes you righteous. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. But we are His workmanship, created for good works in Christ Jesus, who He preordained beforehand. Right? So a lot of people use the grace by faith not to do anything. No, we got to put those things together. You show me your face.